Welcome to Evolution Revolution. No, we're not going to go in music right away. This is DJ Demaru on AnonRadio.net. Sorry for the few seconds of blank intro. I talked to myself for a few seconds there. Thanks, Publius, for broadcasting. Anon Radio always goes up and down with the numbers of DJs that keeps on keeping on. And Publius has been keeping on for a long time. So it's nice to have that. I myself been here only for a year or a bit more than a year on Anon Radio. So you're listening to Evolution Revolution with DJ Demaru. We are live on Kootenai Lake on Anon Radio, hosted on sdf.org, a public Unix server, probably the oldest and maybe the biggest in the world. Who knows? I think so. Where a lot of users connect on the same public Unix server. It's no part of the new trendy word small net being something that used to be and is now trendy again. Let's start in music. I used to be a hippie. I might still be a hippie. I'm sure some people would say so. In high school in the mid 90s in Montreal, Neo Baba Cool came back for a year or so, but when I moved to Montreal, that was the trend. So I was a hippie, and we have confirmation. I am definitely a hippie. All right. I'm like a techno hippie. I don't know how to call myself. But in high school, as a hippie, I was introduced to electronic music with this album, UF Orb from The Orb. We'll be right back. You know, we are in crisis mode this morning. Gopher on SDF is not refreshing. I wrote yesterday a post and it's not showing. This is terrible. I've been an avid Gopher writer and reader for the last couple months at least, writing about my meditation. In the last couple of days, I've had pretty funky meditation. Gopher. This is my my part of the internet nowadays. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution, a show where I talk about all these practices that helps us human to keep on, keep it on. Keep on changing, keep on evolving, and shunning our old concept of who we are as human, and taking a next step in our own evolution. I had the craziest dream. Well, yesterday I had a crazy meditation before sleep. We're doing a I'm helping to teach a one-year training on a spiritual text in Kashmir Shaivism. Kashmir Shaivism is a small religion, I would say, that came out of India, in Kashmir, and the 900, I think. Anyway, a lot of texts came out of that. And for me, it's a very advanced type of spiritual concepts. Anyway, it's really interesting to study. I really enjoy that. And my first yoga teacher, John Ruvinsky, wrote a book about it. So now I'm really happy to be teaching it. And this month, it's the month where I'm teaching, and I invited the people to look at their own reflection in a mirror, meditation on the mirror, whether it's through all the mirrors that you see in your days, from your morning, putting makeup, to in your car, although you shouldn't be staring at yourself in the mirror of your car while you're driving. So I wrote that. I was like, okay, here's what I invite people to do, and then this and this and that. And a couple days ago, when I come to my studio at night, come to bed, I'm often kind of wanting to write or read or just browse the internet. And then I end up whether wasting a lot of times online doing nothing, or meditating or drawing or doing something creative, or writing. These days I'm writing a lot. But for the last couple of days, I was like, well, let's just sit. I know that's what I need to do, is to sit and meditate. And I meditate a lot throughout the week, but during the week, but I rarely meditate by myself these days. I have phases. Some years I'll meditate for hours a day, and lately I haven't done that by myself. So anyway, a couple days ago, I decided to sit, and then I realized that I'm sitting in front of a window, and at night, that window is a perfect reflection of myself. Therefore, I can do the practice that I invited the people to do in my class. So I'm like, oh, great, I can do the practice. And so the practice is you look at yourself in a mirror, and it's really trippy. And the fact that it's a window as well, it creates some reflection of what's happening in the background. Anyway, so I meditated like that. It was really trippy. You can read about it on my Gopher site. And then again tonight or yesterday, I did the same thing. Yeah, yesterday night, sorry. But I chanted mantra as well in order to create more focus on the meditation. So chanting mantra, doing trataka, using my reflection, burning some incense, sitting in front of my altar. And when you look at yourself, when I do it, and I think it's probably the same for a lot of people, but the image that you're looking at starts to morph, starts to melt, and it's a very kind of trippy visualization. The eyes, the shadows kind of moves around a little bit. And if you can stay focused for a long time, that's what's happening. it does that to me anyway since a very long time ago. And so yesterday, sitting, meditating, looking at myself, chanting mantra, the image of myself, it goes really trippy. I was like scared of it. It was so trippy. And to the point where the face really became something else. It didn't feel like it was me. Like it looked like my eyes were moving by themselves. It looked like it was blinking when I wasn't blinking. And I was like, wow. So I told my reflection, hey, come and see me in my dream. Kind of, you know, if it's a spirit or an energy or something, some sort of something, I'm like, whatever, let's just, you know, verbalize it and see what happened. So I finish my meditation and then I go to sleep, and I'm in my dream and I'm like, okay, I'm in a new city, and I'm like, okay, I'd like to discover more of the city. And then I cross the street and then I end up under a bridge, and it's kind of a very big urban bridge. So the space below the bridge is really big, and there's a big kind of a park there. You know, urban park with a lot of concrete around and a bit of grass in the center, but really big, kind of a football field type of size. And I'm like, I'm not sure I want to go hang out under a bridge. But then I see these little monks in robes, like kind of dark red robes, moving toward the end of the park. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna go hang out there and start jogging around. I was like, well, if I jog around the periphery of the park, I might meet up with the monks there at the end. And then, so I jog around, I get to the end there, and then there's a room, and it's kind of a community center type of thing. And I go in there, and it's, you know, community center-ish, kind of concrete building and not very comfortable, but they put a couch there, so kind of feel like... it's something. And I sit on the couch there, and there's a girl there who's kind of like, you know, talking to me, presenting me, who's coming in, and she talks about somebody. And that somebody is Tobe from the dubious committee, the chairman of the dubious gold committee. And I thought it was so hilarious when I woke up and I was like, what? I've never seen the guy. So I'm like, okay. And then he comes in and he has these long hair and he has a trench coat on him. And I'm like, oh, I know that's him because she told me, but he doesn't know it's me. And it's like, oh, but there's some photos of me on my website. So maybe he recognized me. And then he looks at me and it's like, oh, Jeff. I'm like, hey, Tobe. And it's like, oh, you just keep on trying. And I'm like, yeah. And I had no idea what he was talking about. Apart, maybe it was about Synth Battle Royale. Anyway, it was really cute to dream about Tobe. I think it's the first SDF person that I dream about. So that was my weird dream after my weird meditation. I have no idea where it was going. But I had to tell to the community. Tobe has a show later on today. Stay tuned to check out his show. Today I want to talk about martial art and spiritual life. I was inspired by Sloom, another GoForNote person who started writing about martial art and his interest in martial art. And it got me to write more about it. And now I want to talk more about it. Let's have a little musical break with Pi Corner Audio Leaf Mold. Thank you. This was Pie Corner Audio with their album Entangled Route. Yeah. Not much to say about the album. Most of my music, most of what I play is on bleep.com, and I like their store. They're very curated type of music, as well as DRM free. That makes me happy that I can buy music and copy music to my computer, and it could be on Linux, Windows, or Mac. Not that I use any of the Mac or Windows machine, but there's no software or anything like that, and they keep my music forever. I could just log in back to my account. So yeah. Martial art. There's some accident happening in martial art in Calm. Yes, you can hurt yourself in martial art. I got punched in the face so hard that I almost lost a tooth once. But let's talk about the other aspect of martial art. Martial art and meditation. There's a book from Tyson Deshimaru. Tyson Deshimaru is a Zen Buddhist monk. Japanese Zen Buddhist monk who came to France, I think in the 70s and started a lineage of Zen Buddhism. I think it's a very small lineage. I don't know much about it apart from me going to their dojo in Montreal. That was one of the first Zen Buddhist dojo that I've meditated in. It was very close to my place when I was living in Montreal, and a very cute little dojo there. And very good book because Tyson Deshimaru came to France. He wrote a lot of his book in French, and there was no translation. Sometimes if you get translation from Japanese to English to French, it gets a little weird. And I think Japanese directly to French might have a bit more leeway, or it seems like every language has their different words, and different language will translate better in other languages. And I think Japanese to French is actually pretty good. Anyway, that being said, Tyson Deshimaru wrote a book as well on Zen and martial art, really talking about the two and how both practices can lead to a similar experience of life. And I was really happy to read that. It was really early on in my martial art life and or meditation life. And because for me, it was a very similar thing. The meditation and martial art had something very similar in that type of focus. One was more in movement, and one was more sitting. But really, they ended up merging a lot through Tai Chi and Qigong and things like that. I think martial art had a bad rep for a long time in Japan, at least. Karate wasn't really... people didn't like karate. Martial art has been as well shunned by royalty, being like, no, you can't practice martial art because you become too powerful, and we don't want that. So the oppression about human power has been around for a long time. And I think martial art is a good example of that. When samurai were too powerful, or when martial artists became too powerful, there was often like a lid put on them. I practiced lion dance, and lion dance was a form of dance that was there to keep the martial artist training while doing martial art was illegal. And so there's a lot of movement in lion dance that are akin of martial art, and it's a very strong practice, and we were doing that in our kung fu school. Hey, Unimagine, thanks for joining in, talking about martial art and spirituality today, as I was inspired on a Gopher to write a little more about martial art, and also because lately I've been doing karate for like four times a day or something like that, 3 to 4 times a week, I mean. And so yeah, it's a big part of my life. I've been doing martial arts since high school. I'm 44 now, so it's been a while. And going in boxing and Thai boxing and jiu-jitsu and kung fu and tai chi and qigong. And now, after all these years, I'm doing karate. Who would have thought? There's no other martial art being practiced around where I live. So I'm happy to do it. It's kind of fun. If I see it more of a tai chi style, it becomes really interesting. And for me, it's also the meditative aspect of martial art. That's why I'm doing it, and that's why I had judgment about karate at first. I was like, oh, I don't know. Karate is the it's the lame martial art. That was my feeling at first. But now, after many years, almost 7 years of doing karate, I can see that it has a lot of wisdom to it. It's kind of it's a nice practice. Gets me sweating, gets me trained, and at the same time, gets me focused. Yeah, so why martial art and spirituality, or why martial art and meditation? Karate had a hard time in Japan, a lot of the martial art kind of developed, in line with Zen Buddhism, some of them, I mean the Japanese one at least, in order to deepen maybe the ideas of martial art, they added the Do. So, for example, the Ju, like in Jiu-Jitsu, became Judo, Karate Do, Budo. So the Do in these names represent the way, or the kind of like the Tao. I might be bringing elements that don't make sense together, but a little bit in the idea of the Taoism, the way, and the Judo, Karate Do, Budo are all Bushido are all this kind of deeper understanding of martial arts. So instead of martial art being only about hitting each other, there's a way of life that comes with it, a way of respecting reality around you, a way of focusing. So it becomes somewhat of a meditation, and it feels in for the karate at least, a way to make it more acceptable to have that in school. And that also brought about this understanding of martial art also being a spiritual practice. It is said as well that, I can't remember names now, but one of the wave of Buddhism came from one person that traveled from India up to Japan, and that martial art was actually used with monks as their body wasn't very strong. So a lot of the martial art were there. A lot of martial art were there as a training for Buddhist monks to be able to keep on meditating for a long time. So a lot of that came out of that. And I assume that there was probably some, Indian yoga posture involved in that. And it all kind of merged at one point between India to China to Japan. And it all came into a similar route of development, but the spiritual aspect of it in some stories seems to be a very big aspect of it. And then these ideas of like qigong and tai chi was more of a martial art for fighting at first. I assume qigong was always about the powerful energy development that you can do. So yeah, a lot in martial art comes back to your focus, your presence, your breathing. If you don't breathe at the right space, at the right moment, it's not going to work. So when you have to focus on your body, your breathing, your relaxation, martial art becomes a lot easier. When I was doing Kung Fu, I started doing yoga around that time. So I've been doing Wing Chun Kung Fu for many years as a teenager in high school, and then later on I came to yoga. But then when I started learning yoga, my Kung Fu technique became so much better. Like, it just, like, I became better than everyone in the dojo there. In a few months, I started to apply my learning in yoga directly in Kung Fu, as well as flexibility and speed. I gained focus and relaxation. So it was a very interesting mix, an interesting realization at that time. Let's go to something a little funkier with Shanti Celeste and the song called Cutie. This was Shanti Celeste. Very funky little song. I love it. You're listening to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru on sdf.org. Right from the middle of nowhere in the Kootenays in British Columbia, on Kootenay Lake, actually. Beautiful spot to be. Today, I'm talking about martial art and spirituality, as we've been pretty active with the martial art club here in Crawford Bay. It's been a few months now, and a lot of kids have joined in the practice, and it's been really, really nice to see the evolution of the kids being able to, I mean, some of them, they didn't know their left for their right when they started the class. They're like, right foot forward, right fist forward. And they would be like, which one is it again? And I was like, okay. Almost to the point of bringing a Sharpie and writing right and left on their hands to get that, to remember that. I don't know, or tie a rope or something like that. But to see them from the place in your life where you don't know what's your left and what's your right, to being able to perform karate kata, a whole form of kata, it's it's really interesting to see. This evolution is really, it's compared to adults, they evolve faster into the karate. Of course, they move in a different speed, but when I see the difference and the change that happen with kids, it's so interesting. And super nice to be able to offer that to kids. Like, here's, I'm going to give you a space where you can hit and you can kick and you can yell, and it's all safe. It's a safe place to practice all that. And it's been, I can see how it changes reality of children's, where they never have been able to do that in their life. And now they're kind of asked to yell louder, kick louder, punch harder. And they're just like, oh, wow, I can do that. And I see that is such a nice training. My daughter is participating as well, and having the chance to have martial art practice and music practice and art practice. It's just really, I don't know, should be in all of our school. We should all have karate in school again. Let's reform these schools and make superhuman. But yeah, the depth in which martial art can go in spirituality is very big. One of the superstar of Taoism, he's called Meng Tachia. He wrote countless books in the Taoism way of martial art, as well as massage and sexuality.